Good evening. Kindly greet one another, look at them in the eyes, and say good evening, welcome. Let me wish you another blessed New Year. Notice I use the word blessed, not happy, because sometimes things may not always turn out the way you want it, but it is always wonderful. Blessed New Year. What a joy it is to be with you all again. And tonight, we will begin a new series. The series on pursuing intimacy with God. But before I do that, I want to report to you, by the grace of God, CCF Cagayan, and the one in Cagayan de Oro, the one in Iligan, none of our members died, but 85 of them were affected. We already sent over ₱1,000,000, by the grace of God, many of you have given, and they are very blessed by our generosity, and I want to praise God for all the givings of God's people. Praise God. Now, before we begin, I want to ask you a question. If you can ask God for one request, what will that be? If you can ask God for one request, are you not thinking? What will your request be? Please think. Have you made up your mind? What do you want God to do for you? All right? I want you to whisper to your neighbor. Now, if it is so secret, tell your neighbor, secret. But if it is not, so they can pray for you. Will you whisper to your neighbor? What is that one request? What is most important to you? I don't know about you. We all struggle with the management of our time and resources. How do you juggle work, family life? How do you balance quiet time, ministry, then at the same time, your career? Do you have that problem? How do you allocate time? You know, I discovered that one of the biggest problems of Christian today is the word exhaustion. People are tired. In Tagalog, pagod. In fact, I discovered that there are more people dying in the U.S. highways not because of drunken drivers, but because of drowsiness. People are falling asleep when they're driving. People are tired. They have a hard time balancing all their schedules. Well, what is that one thing you want God to do for you? It depends on your priorities. It depends on what is important for you. What is important for you, you will have time. Let me give you an example. I have a friend who was a professor in a seminary in the States. He had no time for doctors. He had no time for physical checkup. He had no time to exercise. Then one day, something happened to him. He had no choice but to see a doctor. Then he said, "Doctor, what's the problem?" The doctor said, "You have diabetes." And he said, "What must I do?" The doctor said, "You have two options. One, you change your lifestyle and you can live longer. The other one, you don't change your lifestyle and you will die very soon." The guy said, he was telling us, he said, "No brainer. I made a decision. I will change my lifestyle." You see, what is important, your priority can change depending on your perspective. For example, just last Friday, I had a dinner with one of our CCF members who had stage 4 cancer. Her cancer spread to the bones. But by the grace of God, she was completely delivered from cancer. Today, she's cancer-free. Praise God, okay? I told her, "What was the impact in your life?" She said, "My life and my family is never the same." She has been cancer-free for a couple of years. She's very careful with her health. But I can see her love for the Lord, the way she will make decisions is no longer the same. You see, once you encounter the reality that you may die, can you imagine the doctor telling you, "You have 60 days to live"? Would that affect your priorities? Yes or no? Of course, it will affect your priorities. When people tell me, I don't have time for Bible study, I don't have time for prayer, I just smile at them. The reality is this. You will have time for what is important. You will not have time for what is not important. Nobody can make those choices for you. You have to decide in your own life what is important, what is not important. Now, the only problem is this. Most people decide too late. Don't do that. If you have one request from God, what will that be? What is most important? Well, turn your Bibles to Psalm 27. In Psalm 27, I want to share with you an amazing discovery of a great man who prayed for one thing. You got your Bibles with you? Psalm 27, verse 4. One of your New Year's resolutions should be, I will bring my Bible to worship. All right? Psalm 27, verse 4. If you don't mind, let's all stand up. Let's read this together. Psalm 27, verse 4. Everybody, let's read this together. One thing I have asked from the Lord, that I shall seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord, and to meditate in His temple. One thing I've asked of the Lord. What is that one thing? That I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty. The word behold is to gaze. This man asked for intimacy with God. I'm going to explain to you in a short while. Let's pray. Father God in heaven, what a joy it is to be together tonight with your brethren. What a privilege it is for us to start a week of fasting and praying. It is now my prayer that you will speak to all of us, override my preparation, and once again, we thank you for all that you are doing. I pray for our president, that you will grant President Aquino wisdom and power and strength to do what is right, to seek righteousness, and to help overcome the perennial problem of graft and corruption. Expose the corrupt people. Help the president fulfill his desire to have a righteous country. Surround him with good people, but above all, give him wisdom how to make good decisions. And I also pray for our brethren in Cagayan. Thank you for sparing their lives. Continue to restore that city and Iligan and those who are affected. Let them all come to know you even more. And we thank you for our new worship training center that's about to be completed. Continue to guide our architect. Continue to guide the contractor, that it will be completed in time. Lord, we commit to you that project from beginning to end. And now I pray that you will speak to all of us. Teach me what to say, what not to say. I surrender myself to you. Help me to speak for the words that you want me to speak. In Jesus' name we all pray. Amen and amen. Thank you. Please sit down. What surprised me about Psalm 27, it was written by David. David was running away from King Saul. Listen, David did not ask for the life of his enemy. He did not ask for the throne. He did not ask for a kingdom. He did not ask for possessions. He asked for one thing: intimacy with the Lord. Why? I'm going to explain to you today's message, the why and how of pursuing intimacy with God. Do you understand the context of Psalm 27? Here's the context. Look, it was not written in a palace. This is the context. Verse 1, the Lord is my light and my salvation, whom shall I fear? The Lord is the defense of my life, whom shall I dread? In fact, if you read verse 1, verse 2, verse 3, it's talking about warfare. It's talking about running for his life. He's talking about the enemies were after him. Yet, in spite of all of these problems, he can say, one thing I ask, intimacy with the Lord. And then the last verse tells you the context. Wait for the Lord. Be strong. Let your heart take courage. Wait for the Lord. sandwiched between verse 1 and the last verse is his desire. His desire is intimacy with the Lord. Do you understand? Psalm 27 even tells us his father, his mother left him. Now, that is sad. David said, my father, my mother left me. David said, I'm surrounded by enemies. And yet he can honestly say, one thing I ask. He did not ask for happiness. He asked for intimacy with the Lord. Everybody, read this together. Pursue intimacy with God. Can you turn to your neighbor? Tell your neighbor, pursue intimacy with God. Now, listen to me. Your priorities are determined by what is important. I cannot decide for you what is important. For the Apostle Paul, let me give you a New Testament example. For the Apostle Paul, he had the same experience. Let's read this together. Philippians chapter 3. More than that, everybody, I count all things to be lost in view of the surpassing value, underline the word surpassing value, of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, whom I've suffered the loss of all things and count them but what? Rubbish. Paul is saying, don't feel sorry for me. What did he lose? Look, he lost his position, his prestige. Paul was an upcoming star in his religious group, a Pharisee, a leader, a man of authority. Paul is saying, I don't mind losing all of that. Why? Paul discovered what is most important, Jesus. My friend, I cannot decide what is important for you. This is the work of God. No wonder Paul can honestly say, brethren, I do not regard myself as having laid hold of it yet. One thing I do. Everybody, read that together one more time. One thing I do. The problem with most of us is not because we pursue the wrong things. Let me repeat. The problem with many people today is not because they're pursuing the wrong things. I don't know what you're pursuing, okay? Some of you may be your career, boyfriend, girlfriend, family, marriage. I don't know. The problem is not pursuing the wrong thing. The problem is this. The failure to pursue the one thing. The one big thing. Until you understand what is most important in your life, ladies and gentlemen, you will have a problem. For the rest of your life, I pray that you will understand what is most important. Intimacy with the Lord. He said, forgetting what lies behind, I reach forward to what lies ahead. I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. God has called us to an intimate relationship with Jesus. What's my proof? It is most important that you pursue intimacy with God. Example, look at John 17 verse 3. Everybody, let's read this. This is eternal life, that they join CCF. Is that what the Bible says? Oh, that's not what it says? What does it say? This is eternal life, that they join the religion. This is eternal life, that they may, what? Know thee. The word know is intimacy. The only true God in Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent. I submit to you, if you are a real Christian, you will have a hunger to know God. If you don't have a hunger to know God, you don't have a hunger for the Word of God, I don't judge you. Something is not right. The Bible tells us there is something in us that longs for God. It's God created. But before I show you the verse, let me explain to you this amazing quotation by St. Augustine. Let's read this together. Thou hast formed us for thyself. Our hearts are restless till they find rest in thee. Maybe you know what this verse is talking about. Let me explain to you. Young people, perhaps you can identify with this. When you are younger, you have certain ideas. This will make me very happy. If I have a boyfriend, or if I have this job, well, you're very sincere. So, you think that will make you happy. And then what do you discover? Having a boyfriend, or getting a good job, getting a good education, something's still missing. So some people, they will attend all kinds of parties because there is a vacuum. There is restlessness in your soul. The proof of the existence of God is the restlessness of the human soul. That's why something's empty. And then people think, wow, perhaps I should get married. You get married. What do you discover? Is that all there is to life? Then you have children. You are thinking the children will make you happy. You discover children will give you headaches sometimes. Comprende? And then you think, maybe I need a big house. So you have a big house. You think you need more money. Having all of the above, when you go home at the end of the day, you still feel empty. What's the problem? The emptiness is real. The problem is you don't know how to satisfy that emptiness. Because we were created by God and for God. That's by design. So that we will seek after Him. So you know what some people do? They live lives of quiet desperation. They refuse to acknowledge the emptiness of their soul. So they get involved with sports, hobbies, all kinds of activities, but they refuse to take time and to look within. I call that shallow existence. They are living, but they may not be alive. No real joy, no real peace. You see, the Bible tells us, let's read this together, Colossians 1:16, everybody. For by Him all things were created, both in the heavens and on the earth. Notice, all things were created in the heavens and on the earth, visible, invisible, thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities. Everybody, all things have been created by Him and for Him, referring to Jesus. We were created by God for God. No wonder somebody once said, what is the chief aim of man? Everybody, let's read this. The chief aim of man, everybody? Man's chief aim is to glorify God and to enjoy Him forever. Now, how will you glorify God if you don't enjoy Him? Let me repeat. How in the world will you ever glorify God if you don't enjoy Him? Do you enjoy God? Do you believe God is good? Do you long for His presence? Some of us don't know God. Seriously, you know about God. You have religion. But you are not intimate with Him. Because you have never decided that the most important thing in life is the pursuit of intimacy with God. So you know a little about Him. But you don't know Him. Just like in many relationships. I see you, I think I know you, but I don't really know you. You don't really know me. You know a lot about my life, but how do you get to know a person? The same thing with God. You got to have a personal relationship with Him. Now, most people don't understand that God wants us to know Him. This is amazing. Can I share with you this amazing truth? Let's read this together, everybody. James chapter 4, verse 8. Everybody, draw near to God, and He'll draw near to you. That's a promise. You draw near to God, He will draw near to you. I began to understand this concept even more. I'm a father. I long for my children. I want to have relationship with them, deeper relationship. For example, a few months ago, in November, I visited my daughter. I visited them in the States, and we went on a mountain. There was snow. Now, I was with my grandson, Corbin. And I told Corbin, we will go out, we will touch the snow, we will walk on snow, but Corbin, you must stay near me. Hold my hand and we shall walk together. He looked at me, no problem. 2 years old, so we began to get outside the house. You know, I was full of sweater, jacket. I was ready for the snow. We began to walk. What happened to my grandson? Just like any 2 years old. What did he do? They have a mind of their own. Do you know even at 2 years old, they have a mind of their own? He decided it's more fun to be alone. Let go of grandpa. No, I don't need grandpa. He decided to go on his own. So he went on his own. Guess what happened? Fell down. Face on the snow. And what did I do when he fell on the snow? Of course, I lift him up. when I lifted him up, I said, please, stay near Grandpa, okay? Hold my hand. What did he do? Did he learn his lesson? No. He did not learn his lesson. He decided to walk on his own again. Guess what happened? Have you been to a place where the snow has frozen on the road? It's slippery. He fell down again. When he fell down, he got mad. He got mad at the snow. Now, what did I do? I went to him and I picked him up again. I said, please, stay near me. I am beginning to understand the heart of God, okay? When you fall down because of your stubbornness, I never had the attitude of, sige, tikas-tikas ng ulo mo, duka na. No, I did not do that. You know, when you run away from God and you fall down, don't think God is mad at you. God is saying, my child, draw near to me. All right, so we were together. He saw a rock, colored white. You know why it's colored white? It's covered with snow. By the way, do you know that song? I'm dreaming of a white Christmas. Don't sing that in the Philippines, okay? Do you know that song or no? How come we sing that song here? White Christmas. I don't understand white Christmas. But if you're in the States, you understand. So he said, he's going to climb. I said, no. Wait for me. Did he learn his lesson? No. He doesn't know. So he ran, you know, this little kid, he ran. Climbed the rock. Guess what happened? Fell down again. What did I do? Did I give up on him? Tikas-tikas ng ulo mo? No. I pick him up. I realize that is the heart of God. We are like that young boy. We always like to run away from God. And when we run away from God, we get hurt. That's why God says, draw near to me. Be intimate with me. It's for your good, for your protection, but we are stubborn. What's the message tonight? Pursue intimacy with God. Let's read this verse one more time. Psalm 27, verse 4. Everybody, one thing I have asked from the Lord. One thing. What is that one thing? That I shall seek. One purpose in life. Intimacy with God. That everybody read. That I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. One primary preoccupation all the days of my life. What else? To behold the beauty of the Lord and to meditate in His temple. One passion, God. What is the reward of intimacy with God? The reward is God Himself. Until you and I realize the greatest blessing is God Himself. Ladies and gentlemen, you'll be going through life pursuing all other things except the most important thing, the pursuit of intimacy with God. If you are intimate with God, everything else will follow. If you love God, you will trust Him. If you love God, you will what? Serve Him. Let me repeat. Intimacy with God means what? You know Him. When you know God, will you trust Him? Some of us don't know God. That's why you have a hard time trusting Him. You have a hard time surrendering your life because you don't know God. Pursue intimacy. If you know God, you will love Him. If you know God, you will trust Him. If you know God, you will serve Him. Everything else will follow. Pursue intimacy with God. Can you turn to your neighbor one more time? Look at your neighbor's eyes. Tell them, pursue intimacy with God. Now, what's our problem? This is the problem. Everybody, let's read this. The greatest enemy of hunger for God is not poison, but apple pie. Ano ba ibig sabihin nun? Let me explain. John Piper said, it is not the banquet of the wicked that dulls our appetite for heaven, but endless nibbling at the table of the world that leaves us so full that we have no appetite left for God. We are full of small stuff that we have no room for the big stuff, God. You see, what he's talking about is this. The enemy of falling in love with God is not the bad things of life. It is not. You'll be amazed. In the Bible, the biggest problem is not enemies of God. Sometimes the biggest problem are the gifts of God, the blessings of God. Let me give you an example. What will prevent you from loving God? You'll be amazed. Why? I want to introduce to you the discipline of fasting and praying. But first, let me tell you the problem. Let's read this together. Luke 14, verse 18 to 20. They all alike began to make excuses. Now, the story is very simple. The king invited the people. He sent out invitation for them to have a banquet with him. The king wanted intimacy with his people. Can you imagine? You are invited by the king to have dinner, to have fellowship, to have intimacy. Now, here are the excuses. Excuse number one. The first one said to him, I bought a piece of land and I need to go out and look at it. Please consider me excused. There's nothing wrong with land. It's a blessing to have land. But can you imagine? Land can prevent you from experiencing intimacy with God. Look at the next excuse. Another one said, I bought 5 yoke of oxen. I'm going to try them out. Please consider me excused. There's nothing wrong with oxen. There's nothing wrong with cows. These are blessings of God. But the blessing of God can prevent you from experiencing intimacy with God. Look at the next one. Another one said, I have married a wife. I mean, just this lunchtime, one of our members got married. Nothing wrong with marriage. Nothing wrong with family. Look at the reason. For that reason, I cannot come. In other words, here is the warning. The blessings of God can become your idol. You see, when you see the word idolatry, don't think of statue, don't think of stone, don't think of images only. There are many other forms of idolatry. Anything that takes the place of God in your life, anything that becomes more important, that's more precious, that's idolatry. And somebody once said, once the good things of life become your idol, it is unrecognizable. Eventually, it becomes incurable. I don't know what's in your heart. Do you have a passion for God? Somebody once asked, what is the greatest sin? Do you know what is the greatest sin? Just think, what is the greatest commandment? The greatest commandment is to love God with all your heart. Therefore, the greatest sin is not to love God with all your heart. Christianity has to go deeper. My prayer is CCFers. For this year, you grow deep in the Lord. Pursue intimacy with the Lord. Christianity is not head knowledge only. You know, we know a lot of things. You may know about the Bible. But in your heart, you don't have that intimacy with God. It does not impact your heart. It does not impact your life. So some people don't change. Everything is in the head. Pursue intimacy with God. Say that with me. Pursue what? Intimacy. Now, Jesus gives us warning. What's the warning? Everybody read this. The worries of the world, the deceitfulness of riches. Nothing wrong with riches. Abraham was rich. Isaac was rich. Jacob was rich. King David was rich. Solomon was rich. A lot of rich people in the Bible. Nothing wrong with riches. But here's the warning. The worries of the world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the desire for other things. I'm not talking about pornography. I'm not talking about adultery. These other things, the good things of life. I call them innocent delights. These are dangerous. I have to guard myself from time to time. Because my heart can wander away from God. And I can fall in love with the gifts and the blessings of God. You see, many Christians are very busy serving God. You are busy. You are so busy that you have no time for God. Busy serving God, busy with activities, but no time for God. And that, I submit to you, is the problem of many people. Just look at the lives of people. Why is it shallow? Why don't we experience the joy of the Lord? How come even among Christians they fight? They're bad examples. The reason is very simple. Shallow Christianity. What's the message tonight? Pursue intimacy with the Lord. Now, you add a sentence. You add a phrase. Pursue intimacy with God through prayer and fasting. Say that with me. Pursue intimacy with God through prayer and fasting. What's my point? Everybody, let's read this together. The Bible says, discipline yourself for the purpose of godliness. Now, let me ask you a question. When you see the word discipline, does that excite you? You are very honest. It doesn't excite me. For me, the word discipline is drudgery. A discipline is very discouraging. It must be discipline with a purpose. For example, confession time. When I was a young boy, perhaps 50 years ago, 55 years ago, long time ago, some of you were not yet born, okay? My mother asked me to learn to play piano. She would send a piano teacher to our house. I was not disciplined. I don't like to practice piano. Now, imagine, if an angel were to appear to me and the angel were to teleport me to a concert hall, and then here's this man playing piano, the sound is amazing, the melody is so, it will enrapture your soul, it is so beautiful, and then you see people crying with the music, and then the angel were to ask me, what do you think of that music? Okay, imagine, as a boy, the angel asked me, what do you think of the music? I would say, wow, and then the angel said, you know who is that man playing the piano? It's going to be you. Someday, that's you. And then boom, he brings me back to my house in front of the piano and he said, you see that piano? You practice. Do you think I'm going to practice playing piano? You see, the discipline of practicing piano is nothing without a purpose. The discipline of prayer and fasting is nothing. There is no spirituality in fasting and praying itself. It's the purpose. The Bible says, discipline yourself. Let's read this one more time. Discipline yourself. For the purpose of what? Godliness. You see, God wants you to be intimate with Him. I'm going to explain to you in the next few weeks how to pursue intimacy. I'm going to share with you different disciplines. For tonight, I want to focus on the discipline of prayer and fasting. Next week, I'm going to share with you other disciplines. In the meantime, let me share with you, let's read this together. Biblical fasting is the voluntary abstinence from food for spiritual purposes. Everybody, get your manual out, fasting and praying. I'm going to share with you what's going to happen this week. This week, we are going to pursue intimacy with God through prayer and fasting. Now, please go over this, but for tonight, go over to page 8. Preparing for fasting. Now, be very, very honest with me. How many of you have ever fasted and prayed in your life? You fasted and prayed. Raise your hand. Higher. I'm watching you. Wonderful. You know, the evening group is sometimes more spiritual, okay? Now, look at page 8. Some of this will be a review. Page 8, number 1. Set your objective and commit to a type of fast. There are different types of fast. Example, number 1, no food. No food except juice or water. That's one type of fast. Another kind, it's called the Daniel's fast, the vegetable fast. It's called partial fasting. You only eat vegetables, only eat fruit. That's another kind of fasting. That's what Daniel did. Another one, no water, no food. Wow. But you cannot do that for a long time, okay? Only 1 or 2 days. Now, the supernatural fast is the one done by Moses. 40 days, no food, no water. Now, you cannot do that apart from a divine call. So, there are many kinds of fasting. My grandchildren said, last night, I invited them to the house, and one of The family member said, "Do you like to watch cartoon?" You know, my grandson said, "We are going to fast." Fast from what? No TV, no cartoons. Some of you, you may have to fast from internet, from Facebook. You fast for the purpose of developing intimacy with God. Now go to the next one. Number two, be expectant. Page 8. Number three, prepare yourself spiritually. I started fasting last night. So I prepared myself. Less than physical activities. Don't join the marathon this week. Okay? Number six, be in faith. You trust God. Because God gives us promises when it comes to fasting. Caution. Now, everybody, those of you who are a bit older, if you are having physical problem, if you are pregnant, you are taking medicine, you please read this. You may have to consult a doctor. God looks at the heart. Understand? He looks at the heart. Important thing is the heart must be right. Now, some of us will fast once a day. Some of you will fast twice a day. Now, most pastors, I believe we will all fast 3 meals a day, okay, for the pastor. So if you see us next week, don't be surprised. Pastor, ang payat-payat mo na. Please don't remind me, okay? Hopefully, I will remain the same. But it's up to you. 1 meal, 2 meals, it does not matter. But do it for who? For the Lord. Now, go to the next page. During a fast, you got to seek the Lord. Now, can I tell you something? Starting tomorrow night, all of us will be here from 7 to 8. All the pastors will be here. We will pray and we will fast together. And then, after 8 o'clock, those of you who need prayers, we will pray for you. In the past, one day we devote for healing, for the country, for your private life, for your finance, for your career. Whatever you feel you need, we are here to pray for one another. Amen? So that's starting tomorrow. This is going to be live telecast all over the CCF branches. If you cannot come, you can meet in your house. I'm telling all D groups, all D12s, don't meet anymore. Come here, meet together here. Don't have another meeting. We will meet together for 1 week. We will fast and pray. We will pray for this country. We will pray for your family. We will pray for your life. But above all, pursue intimacy with God. Now go to the next page. Page 12. Now this is very important. Breaking the fast. How do you break the fast? Next Sunday, I'm going to break the fast. I'm not going to go to a buffet. Because my stomach has shrunk. So, you know what I'm going to eat? Either soup or lugaw. Lugaw is fine. But I will not have a steak. I might die. Understand? Because your stomach is not used to digesting food. You have to slowly build up again. Now, if you fast without spiritual purpose, it's called diet. I'm not asking you to diet. Understand? Fasting is healthy. I admit, it is physically very healthy. It will detoxify your body. God is amazing. God knows that if you fast, you'll be blessed, not just spiritually, but physically. But the objective is more or less, it is more spiritually. Now, let's read this together. More than any other discipline, fasting reveals the things that control us. If you are enslaved to pornography, addiction, to some kind of vices, I have good news for you. Spend time with the Lord. You experience His power. No one can force you. Fasting is voluntary between you and God. Let's read this together. What is fasting? It is abstinence from anything which is legitimate in and of itself for the sake of some spiritual purpose. Some of you may mean less business meeting. Some of you may mean you may not exactly eat as much as you used to eat. Whatever it is, you do it for the Lord. Now, for example, when it's eating time, what I will do, I say, "Lord, I'm hungry. Food is good. I thank God. I thank you. You made food. You made appetite. But for this week, I want you to know you are more important." So for that week, instead of eating, I will spend time reading the Bible, praying. I ask people, what can I pray for you? So they text me. We'll be glad to pray for people. You use that time to seek intimacy with God. Do you realize God wants you to fast? That's in the Bible. Look at Matthew chapter 6. Everybody, let's read this together. But you, when you fast, the Bible does not say if you fast. Matthew chapter 6 talks about if you give, if you pray. No, no, no. When you give, when you pray, when you fast. Fasting is expected. Anoint your head and wash your face, so that your fasting will not be noticed by men, but by your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will see what is done, and He will reward you. In other words, you fast for the Lord. You pursue intimacy with Him. Comprende? It is not for sure, for the Lord. Now, in the Bible, you have private fasting and you have public fasting. I will show you in a short while public fasting. Now, here is an example of private fasting. Jesus fasted. The Bible tells us, after Jesus fasted 40 days and 40 nights, He became hungry. Can I tell you something? The hardest part of fasting is the first few days. After the first few days, you will no longer feel hungry. Something happens to you. Spiritually, you become very alert. If you have never tried fasting and praying, I invite you. Join us starting tomorrow. If you are young, I suggest try it. Full fasting. Breakfast, lunch, dinner, just drink. Water, juice, whatever. Liquid. But between you and the Lord. Don't be pressured by me. The early Christians fasted. Look at the Bible. While they were ministering to the Lord and fasting. Notice the pronoun they. Corporate fasting. They were praying. The Holy Spirit said, set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work which I've called them to do. Then when they had fasted and prayed, laid their hands on them, they sent them away. Notice, when you fast and pray, the purpose is intimacy with God. When you are intimate with God, there are many blessings. One of which is you are able to listen. You see, intimacy with God means you talk to Him and you listen to Him. How many of you have honestly heard the Lord speaking to you? Now, when God speaks to me, listen to me. He does not use the cell phone, okay? He does not call me. God speaks to me in the Spirit. And that is only possible when you have time for God. You see, God wants to spend time with us. But you are so busy doing your thing. You never allow yourself, you never humble yourself and say, Lord, I need you. I want to fast. I want to pray. I want to know you more. And then you listen. The Bible tells us, while they were fasting, the Lord spoke to them. The Lord said, send Barnabas and Saul. You see, when you fast, God will speak to you. You ask God, Lord, what do you want to do with my life? You ask God. For your career. You ask Him. By the way, Acts chapter 13, because of fasting and praying, transformed the history of the world. Let me repeat. Because of fasting and praying, the history of the world was changed. Study history. Because of Acts 13, Christianity went to the barbarians. Who were the barbarians during those times? The Europeans. From Sweden, Switzerland, North Europe, Northern Europe, the gospel went there. Why? Fasting and praying. You study history. History had been transformed because of prayer and fasting. England, when it was to be invaded by France, the entire Christian community, the entire nation fasted and prayed. And France did not attack England. America, during the time of Abraham Lincoln, he declared a day of fasting and praying. He asked everybody to fast and pray. American history was transformed. Of course, today they are forgetting God. My advice to you, you want a spiritual breakthrough? Fast and pray. Pursue intimacy with God. The purpose is, Lord, I want to be intimate with you. I want to listen to you. I want to know what you want me to do. God does not speak louder when we fast. We begin to hear Him better. Sometimes you are too busy. God speaks, but you are not able to listen. In my life, it is only when I slow down that I get to listen. And that's why I treasure my morning time with the Lord. And this week, I'm excited. I cut down a lot of my appointments. I want to spend time with the Lord. 1 week of spiritual feasting. What a joy. And then the Bible tells us, there was a king who had a tremendous problem. You know what he did? Do you have problems that is so huge you don't know what to do? Yes or no? How many of you have problems? Raise your hands. Be honest with me. You have problems. All right. How many of you don't have problems? You don't have problems. Perhaps there's a few of you. You don't have problem at all. Raise your hand. Are you all telling me we all have problems? All right. When you have problems, what do you do? Question number two. If your problems are so big, what do you do? Learn from this king. To pursue intimacy with God, what did he do? When you have problems, don't run away from God. Let's read this together. 2 Chronicles chapter 20. Jehoshaphat was afraid and turned his attention to seek the Lord. Underline that in your Bible. He sought the Lord in the midst of fear and proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. The king was afraid. Why? He was surrounded by a huge army. Surrounded. He didn't know what to do. He sought the Lord by prayer and fasting. Verse 4. Judah gathered together to seek help from the Lord. They came from all the cities to seek the Lord. Prayer and helplessness are inseparable. Only the one who is helpless can truly pray. Your helplessness is your best prayer. In other words, people who are humble will pray. People who fear they don't need God, they don't pray. That's the test of whether you are intimate with God or not. If you think you don't need God, you don't pray. The older I get, the more I realize I need God. I don't know how to explain this to you. The older I get, the more prayerful I become. Because I realize I need Him. I realize I need the Lord. Now when I see people and they tell me their problems, my mind automatically switches. Pray for Him. When I'm talking to you, and you tell me your problems, you may not know this, but I am beginning to pray for you. When people tell me they have all kinds of situations that they cannot solve, instead of worrying, I say, let's pray. It has become automatic because I've discovered I cannot solve problems. I've discovered only God can fix problems. And I've discovered I cannot change people. Only God can change people. I've discovered that there are many things in life I cannot control. Only God can control. So, what has happened in my life? I become more prayerful. I invite you to pursue intimacy with God. Learn to put your confidence in God. Well, that's what this king did. It calls from your heart to the heart of God with greater effect than all your uttered pleas. You see, prayer is not mouth. Prayer is the heart. You come tomorrow. If you have no words to say, just cry. I don't know about you. Have you cried praying? Yes or no? I'm sure some of you have. Why? It's from the heart. I have cried many times. Now, you cannot believe me, right? But do you notice I'm becoming very soft? I have tears. They easily flow. I'm getting soft, okay? That was my prayer years ago. I said, Lord, I don't want to grow old hard. I don't want to grow old being a mean person. I want to grow old gracefully, full of grace, gentleness. And I realize you need to pursue God. Because when you pursue God, He transforms your life. He transforms us. Let's read this together. King Jehoshaphat prayed. In the midst of the assembly, the Spirit of the Lord came. Do you notice? God is always ready to speak, but we are not ready to hear. But when you fast and pray, I will not be surprised when God will speak to you. Now, how do you know the voice is the voice of God and not the voice of the devil? Well, you come next week. In the next few weeks, I'm going to teach you intimacy with God through God's Word. How do you differentiate? But that's not the topic tonight. The topic is pursue intimacy through prayer and fasting. Let's continue reading. And he said, thus says the Lord to you, do not fear or be dismayed because of this great multitude. For the battle is not yours, but God's. How many of you have read this verse before? The battle is not yours, but God's. Most of you have read this verse. Yes, sir. Yes or no? But do you notice something? You don't know the history of this verse. The history of this verse is because of prayer and fasting. Without prayer and fasting, you will not have this promise. You need, everybody please read, you need not fight in this battle. Station yourselves, stand and see the salvation of the Lord on your behalf. Can you imagine? Intimacy with God will allow you to experience confidence, security. You don't have to be fretful. You don't have to be afraid if you are intimate with God. Because God is telling you, that is my battle. Relax. That's my battle. I will fight for you. Amen? Now, some of you are always fighting. You are always struggling. You know, I've seen many Christians. They are restless. There is no peace. You are not rested. You are always agitated. Pursue intimacy. People who are intimate with God, you notice something about them. Peace. Rest. They don't have to prove anything. And they don't usually fight. They allow God to fight for them. That's what this verse is saying. Do not fear or be dismayed. Tomorrow, go out, face them. The Lord is with you. Say that with me. The Lord is with you. You believe the Lord is with you? If the Lord is with you, why do you fast and pray? To make you even more aware. You see, God is with us, but we ignore Him. We don't want Him. Fast and pray will help you realize God is with us. You don't have to beg for God. Lord, please come. Please come. No, no. God is with you. If you have Jesus, you have God. The only difference is this. Will you allow God to be very real in your life? If you are full of activities, full of worldly pleasures, nothing wrong. Watching TV, always going out to parties, always drinking, the blessing of God. Praise God, you are blessed. But if you are so busy with all of those activities, attending parties, going to places, when will you have time to listen to the Lord? Pursue intimacy with God through prayer and fasting. You know, look at what happened. Verse 18. Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground. And all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem fell down before the Lord, worshiping the Lord. That is what we will do. Starting tomorrow, we will come here together. We will worship the Lord. We will enjoy the presence of God and just listen to Him. I have discovered something. The more intimate you are with God, the less you pray about your own problem. My wife and I have been talking. We hardly pray for ourselves. Why? Because I know God knows. I'm not saying don't pray. Now, there are times I really pray, okay? Like, this week I have some problems, okay? Big problems. So, I will tell God. God knows the problem, but I will ask Him to intervene. And then, the most amazing thing happened. Let's read this together. When you're intimate with God, when they began singing and praising the Lord, when they began singing and praising, what happened, everybody? The Lord set ambushes against the enemies. When did God begin to ambush the enemies? When they began what? Singing and praising. Do you realize God wants to fight for you? You know, some women, you are always nagging, nagging, nagging. Some men, you are like a woman, you nag, nag, nag. Can I tell you something? If you are always fighting people, you don't allow God to fight for you. Ladies, I give you a secret. You got a problematic husband, pray for him, be quiet, and your husband will get shocked. Your husband will say, why are you so quiet? And then he begins to listen to God. But if you keep talking, your husband cannot listen to God. You know what? You're too noisy. One of the nightmares of my children before, when they are not behaving well, they're arguing with me, I simply said, time out, you pray. My goodness, when I say time out, you pray, spend time with God, they get scared. You know why they get scared? Because when you're alone and you pray, God begins to speak to them. 100%, after 10 minutes, they come to me. Oh, Daddy, I'm sorry. 100% all the time. I don't have to argue with my kids. I keep talking and talking. I said, okay, time out. Arguing with my wife, time out. Arguing with each other, time out. You please pray. After a while, they come. So sorry. You see, God is more powerful when He speaks. Monday, tomorrow night, we will allow God to speak. Amen? You may have to fast from TV. What's your favorite show? American Idol? Philippine Got Talent? I don't know what's your favorite show, okay? I'm old-fashioned already. When Jehoshaphat and his people came to take their spoil, look at this. They found much among them, including goods, garments, valuable things, which they took for themselves, more than they could carry. My goodness! They were 3 days taking the spoil because there was so much. Can you imagine the number of the enemies that were killed to have so much goods? It took them 3 days to bring all the blessings from the defeated enemies. Unbelievable. Is God amazing? Yes. Now, the blessing of intimacy, God fights for you. You listen to Him. You become intimate with Him. You get to know His strategy. Can I give you an amazing verse? Let's read this together. The young lions do lack and suffer hunger. But they who seek the Lord shall not be in want of any good thing. An amazing promise. You seek the Lord and you will not lack any good thing. Some of you are praying for something. If God is not giving that to you, God is telling you, you don't need it. But the Bible tells me, the young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they who seek the Lord will not want any what? Good thing. Is that an amazing promise? That's a promise from God. This has been my verse. I have claimed this promise for many, many years. Lord, you promised me, I will not lack anything that is good for me. I have a friend who is intimate with God. He was a seminary student. When he graduated, he knew God was telling him to start a church. So he went to this city in the States. He knew God led him to this city to start a new church. He brought his wife. He brought his kids, young boy. Except there was a problem. He didn't have enough money. He needed to pay the rent. The support promise is going to start 2 months later. In the first 2 months, he has to look for houses and he has to pay rent. He has no money. And the house where he's staying, the rent is more or less $600. So he went to the landlord. He went to the office. And the manager said, what can I do for you? Oh, it's the rent. The manager immediately said, I'm sorry, don't pay me now because I'm not allowed to keep money over the weekend. You bring it back on Monday. Now, the guy has no money. He pretended, okay, I'll be back Monday. But he has no money, okay? So, he went home. He told his wife, praise God. They did not ask for our rent. It's going to be Monday. I have 2 days to look for money. On Saturday, he began to look at the mailman, okay, mailbox, because he has read many times how God provides money through the mail. So he was looking at the mailbox, looking. The mailman came. But the mailman did not drop any envelope in his mailbox. He said, "Lord, Lord, you are faithful. You promise you will always provide. But I need money, $600. Saturday was gone. Sunday, he visited one of the biggest churches of that city. When he was in the car park, he saw an old friend. Now, this old friend used to write him a check when he was in seminary. And he kept sending back the check. He would tell his friend, "Thank you for the check. I don't need your money. Give it to somebody else." He met him. He was so excited. And the friend said, "How are you doing?" And he was tempted. "Tell him your rent. Tell him your rent." But the Lord spoke to his heart. The Lord said, "Don't talk about money." Now, the friend was leaving the church. It's a big church, okay? The biggest church of that time. And he was leaving, but my friend was going. My friend was attending the church. So the friend said, "You know what? I'll go with you. I'll go with you to worship. But I'll leave earlier. I just want to talk to you." So they were sitting down together, making cuento, talking. And then, after the music, the tithing box, the plates was passed. And he saw his friend writing a check, putting it in an envelope. And when the plate went by, his friend did not put the envelope in the plate. He made the plate pass by and he said, "Here is the check." When my friend got the check, he said he did not return it. He kept it immediately. He kept it. Now, he was hoping he would live. He wanted to see the amount. So he kept trying to, But the friend did not leave. He stayed for the worship service, complete service. He said that was the longest service of his life. So after the service, of course, they say goodbye. He was so happy that the guy left. Immediately, he looked at his envelope. He opened it. You know what is the amount? $600. I have countless stories to tell you that God is faithful. God is real. Our God is not a myth. He wants to be real in your life. But you don't allow Him to be real because you're too busy. The same chapter written by David, this is what he said. Let's read this together. "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. How blessed is the man who takes refuge in Him." Is the Lord good? But you will not know until you taste Him. Most of us know about God. You know about Jesus. You need to pursue intimacy. Do not play religion. Do not come to CCF just to listen. We want you to experience the reality of God in your life. Because God is real. He loves you. He's not just my Lord. He's your Lord. You know, David wrote the following. Let's read this together. "Thou wilt make known to me the path of life." If you are intimate with God, you will know the path of life. You will know what to do. You will know what not to do. And then what will you experience? In the presence, in thy presence, everybody, is fullness of joy. In thy right hand, there are pleasures forever. My friend, I don't know if you're excited to be with Jesus. If you don't love Jesus now, if you don't enjoy God, why will you ever enjoy heaven? Heaven is the place where God dwells. The more you enjoy the presence of God now, the more you will long for the next world. Look at this amazing verse. In thy presence is what? Fullness of joy. In thy right hand, pleasures forevermore. How come most of us don't experience this? I like what C.S. Lewis said. Let's read this together. Everybody. We are half-hearted creatures. fooling about with drink and sex and ambition when infinite joy is offered us. We are like ignorant children who want to continue making mud pies in the slum because we cannot imagine what is meant by the offer of a vacation at the sea. We are far too easily pleased. Don't be satisfied with mud pies. Christians, God has something better for you. Intimacy with the Lord. Make that your main preoccupation, your purpose in life. One thing I ask of God. What is that one thing? David said, one thing I have asked from the Lord. You need God's help. Pursue intimacy with Him. And your life will never, ever be the same. What are you pursuing? Be honest. What are you pursuing today? What are you pursuing? Popularity? Fame? What are you pursuing? I pray that you and I will pursue intimacy with God. Everything else will follow. If you have everything else, you don't have God, you have nothing. If you have God, you have everything. Pursue intimacy with God through prayer and fasting. I invite all of us, Monday night, you come. You bring your booklet. If you cannot come, watch us in the internet. This is going to be telecast simultaneously all over the place. If God has spoken to you and you say, Peter, I want to be intimate with the Lord. I don't know how. I want to pray for you. Let's bow our heads. If that's your desire, you want to be intimate with the Lord, today can be the beginning of a new life for you. God knows what you are pursuing. Maybe you are pursuing your own agenda. Perhaps you are still pursuing money. Perhaps you are still pursuing a relationship. And God is saying, I want you. I want to pursue intimacy with you. Why don't you respond to Him? Pray this prayer with me. Lord Jesus, I've been pursuing many other things. Tonight, I realize you are the greatest good. You are the greatest person. Lord, I want to experience intimacy with you. I give you my heart. I give you my life. Teach me. Lord, give me the strength as I spend time in prayer, as I spend time fasting and prayer. Lord, I need you. I'm desperate for you. I want to experience the reality of your presence. Father God in heaven, I pray for everybody here tonight. Thank you for reminding us you love us. Thank you for reminding us you died on the cross for the forgiveness of our sins. You died on the cross that we can become intimate with you, that we can become intimate with our Father who is in heaven. So Lord God, may this prayer be our prayer. One thing we ask of you, Lord, we want to be intimate with you, to dwell in your house all the days of our lives, to behold your beauty, and to meditate on your temple. Lord, we want to be in your presence, to be aware of your presence. Bless your people here tonight. In Jesus' name we all pray. Amen and amen.